If you have your Bibles this morning or whatever device you look at your Bibles on, you can open them or click on them to get to Exodus 20 this morning. We're continuing our series titled OSX Commandments, the Operating System for the Christian Life. And if you haven't been with us, it's a series that's taking us through the Ten Commandments, a series that's showing us that these commandments are as much about God's love for us as John 3:16, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Well, here's the thing. Go to the Old Testament. For God so loved the world that He gave us these commandments because He wants to protect us and knows that if we step outside of these things, we open up a whole world that can lead us into pain, that can lead us into hurts and difficulties. And so we are learning that these commandments are about His love for us. He so loved us that He gave us these commands to watch over us, to protect us. Now, 3 weeks ago, we started with the first commandment that said, "You shall have no other gods before Me." And we talked about the fact that God wants to be number one in our life, right? He wants to be first. And the reason is because He created us, right? He loves us. He knows that there isn't anybody or anything out there that can love us and take care of us the way He can. And so He wants us to make Him first so that He can care for us and take care of us in the way that He designed us to be taken care of. And then the next week we talked about the second commandment, that you shall not make for yourself any idols or images. And that week we talked about how we create in our own minds these idols or images of what we want God to be, the God we want to serve. And in doing so, we end up putting God in a box and we limit who He is and we limit what He's capable of doing. And that becomes the image that we worship instead of who He truly is. And then last week we tackled the third commandment. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And we talked about the importance of not only how we speak the name of the Lord, but how we actually carry His name. That as Christians, we carry the name of Jesus. And when we don't represent His name well, then we're literally taking His name in vain. Now this week, we're going to be talking about the fourth commandment. And so if you have your Bibles, you can or your phones or whatever, you can follow along with me as we're going to read this morning from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. This is out of the NIV, and this is what it says. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor daughter nor your maidservant or manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." One day there was an elder in a church, and he was telling a young pastor, a driven, fiery pastor, that he needed to slow down and make sure that he was taking time to rest. Well, the young pastor kind of spouted back at this elder, saying, "The devil never takes a break, so why should I?" The elder then responded by saying, "Well, pastor, do you really want to model your life after the devil?" Ouch, right? Here's the thing. We actually all need elders like that in our lives that are going to challenge us and speak to us in love. Because how often do we model our life after the devil? How often do we model our life after the world instead of modeling after the Lord like we should? You see, the fact is, it would be pretty hard to deny that we haven't struggled with this command at times in our life. Am I right? It's hard to deny that we haven't struggled with it. We live in such a crazy time, don't we? Where life is constantly moving all around us. And if we're honest, at times this command, it almost seems impossible in this fast-paced world that we live in, where life is just constantly going, right? Doesn't it sometimes just seem like, I don't have time to take a break? But here's the thing. What we're talking about today is not titled the fourth suggestion, right? God didn't give us the 10 suggestions, did He? He gave us, what, the 10 commandments, right? This is a command that we need to follow. And we need to follow the example that God Himself set for us. The Scripture points out that even God took time to rest and reflect. And this concept of rest is so important to God that He commands us to have a Sabbath, to have a time of rest. Now, as I was studying this idea of rest, I came across some interesting things, some interesting truths. One of which was this. It said that if you were to buy a new pair of shoes today and wear them every day, they would wear out in about 6 months for the average person. Now, again, it depends on what shoe you buy, right? You know, you go to Walmart here, you know, it might make 3 months. I don't know. But the average person, a decent shoe, if you were to wear it, right, 6 months straight, every day, just all day, you wear that same pair of shoes, it would wear out in about 6 months for the average person. But listen to this. They said if you were to buy two pairs of shoes and alternate them every other day, those two pairs of shoes would last 2 years for the average person. So literally, you're getting twice as much time out of those shoes, because each pair of shoes, that means, lasts a year, right? Instead of 6 months. Pretty crazy thought, huh? Apparently, wearing them every other day allows the materials to rest, which enables them to be stronger and last longer. Now, I also found that there's a similar truth about bowling pins. Go figure, right? I read that oftentimes bowling alleys will rotate their pins out and let them rest. Apparently, they discovered that when you don't let the wooden pins rest, they actually lose their vitality and they don't bounce around as much. Now, I'm convinced I have only bowled in alleys where they don't rest their pins. That's the only reason, right, that I don't get good scores, okay? So I'm like, okay, good, I'm not that bad. I just they don't rest their pins here. If they rest their pins, I'd get good scores. But it's kind of interesting stuff, isn't this? I mean, shoes, bowling pins. And though I'm not a farmer, I once played one on a video, okay? I guess it's different than playing a doctor on TV. But I've heard, some of you get that, you got to be around my age frame to catch that. But I've heard that soil needs rest, right? I've heard that farmers, if they can afford it, will let sections of land lie fallow for a year to let it rest so that it will yield a more bountiful crop, because in resting, the nutrients are replenished and whatever in that time of rest. I don't know all the details and the science behind it, but when you let it rest, it replenishes and the crop can become more bountiful. Now, isn't it interesting that so many things in our world, they do better and they last longer with rest? In verse 11, it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day." Now, here's the thing. When you read that, it's like, why did God rest, right? Do you think it was because He was tired, you know? The God of the universe, the God, you know, who just kind of waves His hand for whatever He wants, you know? Do you think it's, He waved His arm too many times. He was just tired. Oh, man, I'm tired now. You know, I had to put His arms to the side. I don't know. I don't think God was tired. God doesn't get tired. God is infinite. He can go on forever. But I'm thinking maybe He knew a little something about His creation, right? And I think He wanted to model for us this concept of rest, because unlike Him, we need it. Our bodies need rest. And He knows what will happen to us if we don't rest. He created us and He knows that our bodies weren't created to run and to go continuously. And we live in a world right now where that's what we do, right? It's like, go. I don't have time to stop. I don't have time to rest. I got to keep going. He knows that's not how we're created. He knows that we need to recharge. That we need to recharge our batteries, right? And that we do that, how? Through Him. Resting in Him. You see, as life continues, as family demands more of our time, as the craziness of life spirals out of control, the reality is what we need is we need more of Him. We need more of His peace. We need more of His joy. We need more of His love, more of His wisdom, more of His resurrection life that I was talking about earlier, right? That life that gives us that power to keep going and to move forward. And the reality is we aren't going to get that from just those one little minute bursts of prayer that we throw out to the Lord as we're going from one place to the next, right? Oh God, all right, I'm going from here to here. Lord, just help me, you know, through here. Now it's good because we want to be talking to the Lord all the time. But those kind of things aren't going to help us in the long run to really be able to rest and recharge in Him. We're only going to get that kind of rest when we take time to really be with the Lord. It's in Him that we're able to recharge and refresh. It's in Him that our souls are restored. We all know Psalm 23, right? As a matter of fact, I spoke on it months back. The first three verses, I have them to put up on the board here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." He what? He restores my soul. That last part, that's the important part. Well, we'll get to the important part right before that. But He restores my soul, right? And I guess the important part is we can't overlook the fact that our souls aren't restored until what? After He makes us lie down. It's when we take time to rest in Him that we experience His healing touch, the kind of healing touch that only He can bring to our lives, that healing touch, that restoration to our souls. You see, God gives us this commandment because He loves us. He wants to protect us. He knows that us learning to take time to rest in Him is exactly what we need to make it through this hurried and hectic life and world that we live in. God knew, I think, that time would continue to get faster and faster. And they needed it as much back then, but we almost need it even more today, right? In the time and lives that we live. I don't know if you've realized this, but these first four commands, they all have to do with our relationship with God. It's our correlation to the Lord. These first four commands. The next commands, we'll talk about our relationship with people. Okay? But these first four commands, that they talk about our relationship with the Lord, right? Number one, putting Him first. How is our relationship? He first in our life. Commandment number two, having no idols or images that get in the way. You know, are there things that get in the way of our relationship with Him? Number three, are we honoring His name? Are we lifting up His name? Are we saying or doing anything that's bringing division between us and the Lord? And this commandment here, are we pausing and are we taking time with Him to grow in Him and our relationship with Him? You know, you think maybe God knew how crazy life would get for each of us? Do you think maybe He knew that without this fourth command, it might be hard for us to carry out the first three? Perhaps this command is really for us to pause and take time to ask ourselves some questions. Maybe it's in this pause that we ask ourselves, is God really number one in my life? It gives us an opportunity to reflect and say, man, are there other things that I'm putting before God? It gives us time to say, man, are there images that aren't right that I'm making of God or other images that I'm exalting and worshiping other than the God of this universe, the one true God of who He is? It gives us time to reflect, am I carrying His name well? Have I been taking His name in vain? Have I been living out the life? Am I taking time to really rest in Him? I think this fourth command really helps us keep in step with these first three, with all these commands. You see, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, the demands of life are always going to tempt us. It doesn't matter where you're at in your walk, how great or how strong, the demands of life are always going to pull at us and always going to tempt us. There's always going to be something to do. There's always going to be another thing that needs to get done. There's always going to be those things or people that are vying for your attention. Am I right, moms? As we talk about moms this morning, as we celebrate Mother's Day, the reality is moms have one of the toughest jobs in the world. Moms have more demanded on them than just about anybody else. But even super moms need rest. Even super moms need to take time to rest. And whether you're a super mom or just a super employee or that OCD person that can't leave anything undone, all right, that you've got to be here, get this done, taken care of, whoever you are, the reality is we all need rest. Because if we continue to give into the demands of this world, I can guarantee you that we're going to fail living out these commands. And if we don't take time to rest, the reality is we're going to burn out. It happens all around us. People continue to burn out in our world, and I think the main reason is because we're not taking time to rest and reflect and to be with the Lord. And that burnout displays itself in all different ways. It may be physical burnout, right? Where we get sick or our body breaks down because of the physical demands that we continue to put on our bodies. It might be emotional burnout because we failed to take time to deal with the stress and the challenges that we're facing. And so we just keep going and we finally just break down emotionally. It may be spiritual burnout. Yeah, we can burn out spiritually where we're trying so hard to do the right things, to make everyone happy, to be the super Christian that we're literally killing ourselves. I've known many pastors who've experienced this kind of burnout in their life. Well, I'm the pastor, I've got to do this. And they keep going and they keep going and they don't take time to rest and they burn out. We can have spiritual burnout. I know we want to serve God and do all the great things, but we got to seek Him and make sure we're doing the right things. We're not doing too much. Because the world will say, oh, you're not giving enough. I need more of you. No, what is God saying? Let's be faithful. I love Andy Stanley's words. Do for one what you wish you could do for many. Right? Because sometimes we try to do for many and we get burnt out. Now, I'm not just saying, okay, just the second person comes to you and you say no, all right? You got to hear the Lord. But I think sometimes we try to be that person that changes the whole world. And God says, no, just worry about where you're at right now. Be faithful with those people I put in your life. Do for one what you wish you could do for many so you don't burn out spiritually. It may be financial burnout where we're trying so hard to work and make money that we just get burnt out because we fail to realize that God is our provider, right? He is our provider. We have to trust in Him. Or maybe it's marital or family burnout where we're pushing ourselves so hard that we don't have time for our spouses or our families and eventually things blow up in our houses. All these can be a result of failing to take time to pause. And maybe you've experienced those in your life. And it's because we fail to let the Lord help us recharge, to give us the rest and the strength that we need to do. And let me say this, don't think that these things can't happen to you, okay? Because I've known some pretty amazing men of God who didn't think this command applied to them. And they failed to rest and ended up burning out. And some of these are these pastors that I talked about that ruined their ministries because they got so caught up in going, 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 and they burn out. Don't think it can't happen to you. And I know for me, I've seen that. And as a pastor, it's hard because I've had to set up boundaries. I've had to say, here is what I can do, what I am capable of. And I will push hard and I will give my all. But I have to have times of rest. Because if not, I won't be here very long. I will burn out and you will be finding someone else stepping up on this place. And I don't think that's why God called me to Dallas. He called me to be here and to be faithful and to be able to continue to press on. Here's the thing we have to realize. We don't have to experience these burnouts in our life. When we listen to the Lord's commands, the results are different. The Lord wants to give us rest. Listen to what Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'm going to put it on the screen. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," any weary and burdened people out here in our world, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Doesn't that, just listen to that, rest for your souls. It's like it just brings peace as you say it. It's like, yes, Lord, that's what I want. The stresses of this world, the demands of everybody saying, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know what? God will challenge us to do some difficult things and some challenging things. But when we rest in Him, oh, we find peace. It becomes easy when we rest in Him. Find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the yoke I want to wear, right? I don't want that thing that just weighs me down and I'm just trying to survive. No, I want to be able to walk strong and tall because His yoke is easy, His burden is light. This is what I believe that this command is about. It's about taking time to be with the Lord, to come to the Lord. It's about letting Him recharge, refresh, restore our souls. It's about really getting our lives in order. This time of rest, I think we move and we go, and I think it's time, like I said, to just come and, Lord, help me. Help me figure out what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? I get so caught up doing what the world tells me to do and so burnt out that I'm not being faithful to do what you've called me to do, Lord. It helps us get our lives in order. Like I said, we live in a crazy, busy world, and the only way we're going to make it through is by the grace of God, by His hand upon our lives. It's by learning how to take time and rest in Him. It's remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Now here's the thing. This might look different for each of us. What is that? What is remembering the Sabbath? What does keeping it holy look like? It's different for each of us. Over the years, there's been a lot of conversation in the church about what day is the Sabbath and how do we keep it holy. Now, in the Scriptures, for the Pharisees, they were pretty stringent on this. It was a sin for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. Jesus, apparently, according to the Pharisees, was a sinner. You can't heal on the Sabbath. That was work. And you can't do any work on the Sabbath. They also, in the Scriptures, they confronted Jesus about His disciples who, as they were walking through a field, were picking grain and eating it, right, on the Sabbath. But you know, picking grain, that's work. So they were breaking this command. The reality is people can be pretty legalistic about what it means to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But here's the thing. God is simply asking that we take time each week to rest in Him. That we're taking time to rest in Him. And I believe whether that's Saturday, whether that's Sunday, whether that's any other day of the week, I don't really think it matters. What matters is that we're doing it. What matters is that we're taking time to rest in the Lord, to be with Him. Are we doing that? Where is it that you meet with the Lord? Where is it that you rest in Him? Again, this can look different for all of us. I read about an 11th century monk known as Brother Lawrence, is what it titled him. It says he felt the closest to the Lord in the kitchen, scrubbing pots and pans, right? This picture of him just sitting there scrubbing and just worshiping and praising the Lord. And it was interesting because as you read about it, he actually felt like his time with God was interrupted when the bell rang for prayer, right? It's like, oh, I was so close to God in that time of just scrubbing these pots and pans. Apparently, his times in the kitchen were so intimate that leaving to go to the chapel for prayer was a bother for him. It seemed to take him away from God. Do you have a place or a time where you put everything else aside and you just go and be with the Lord? Maybe it's knitting. Right, Joanne? Those times of just being still before the Lord, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. Are you having those times where you're getting away and you're with Him? You know, for me, oftentimes it's in our fireside room here at the church. I just go in there, I sit on the chair, and I just put on my worship music, and I just sit before the Lord. And I just say, Lord, what do you want in my life? What are you calling me to do? What am I not doing that I should be doing? Where am I messing up? Sometimes I go for my walks, Basket Slough or the creek, I walk. It's in those times I just talk and I walk and I just rest in the Lord, just speaking with Him. Maybe for some of you, it's here on Sunday mornings at church. This time where you can just come, where you can just worship Him, where you can let Him refill you, replenish you, restore your soul before you start out there in the work week, right? It doesn't really matter where it is or what day it is. What matters is that you're spending time on a regular basis with Him. It just says, for every 6 days you work, the seventh day you rest. Are you regularly, weekly, taking time to rest and be with the Lord? And don't try to say certain things. You know, we read about, you know, this monk who scrubs, you know, don't try to say, well, I praise the Lord while I work. Okay, maybe that's true. I know people can garden and just be with the Lord. But you need to make sure you're really having time with God, okay? Don't make excuses, oh yeah, I do it in this or that. No, when are those times where you're closest with God? When are those times where you can just be with Him? And maybe that is gardening or knitting or doing whatever. But it needs to be that kind of time where you're seeking to be with Him. God wants to be with you. He really does. He gave you this command because He wants to be with you. He wants to help recharge and refresh each of us. He knew our need for rest. He knew that we can only find that true rest in Him. Now, the thing we need to remember, though, is this. And I think we know it. But the path to rest is always going to be contested. It is. The path to rest is always going to be contested. The enemy knows that we need it. And he also knows that when we get it, we're able to walk in righteousness. We're able to be more effective for the Lord. So he's going to do his best to keep us busy. He's going to do his best to throw all that he can at us, all the things that this world has, to keep us from taking time to rest in the Lord. And if he's throwing all these things at us, it just means we need the rest all the more, right? We have to force ourselves to take time with the Lord. Now, we don't need more time, because that's what a lot of us say. Well, if I just had more time, it's never going to work. I could give you 26 hours a day, and you would then tell me you need 28. And I could give you 28, and then you would tell me you need 30, right? We say we just need more time. We don't just need more time. We need more Jesus. We need more time with the Lord. And it's amazing, this concept. We hear about it in the tithe and finances. That if you give the Lord, you know, the 10%, He'll multiply it and help you, right? And it talks about testing. It's the same thing with our time. I've found those days when I'm like, man, I just don't have time. And I force myself, Darren, stop, read your word, and be with the Lord. The times I do that, I get more accomplished than those times where I go, I don't have enough time, so I don't do it. I get less accomplished. There's something about taking time to rest in the Lord. We don't need more time. We need more Jesus. We need to simplify, right? And let God guide us and direct us through the busyness and high demands of this life. That's what I really believe. It's that realigning. It's simplifying, because we get so caught up. And when we take that time to rest, we can begin to hear the Lord and say, is this what I should be doing or not? And if we don't have a peace about something, I think that's a good sign that maybe we need to pull out. Are people going to be upset at us? Maybe. Believe it or not, I know you probably wouldn't believe this, I've had people upset at me. Can you believe that? Because I've said, you know what? Friday's my day off. I'll be back in the office on Monday. I'll help you there. If it's not an emergency, if someone's not dying, I think it'll be okay till Monday. I've had people get mad at me for that, right? But sometimes you got to be willing to let people get mad at you to do the right thing. It's true. A lot of people were mad at Jesus, the life that he lived. Are we going to question his life? I hope not. Are we taking time to really hear the Lord and say, God, what is it you've called me to do, the life that you've called me to live? Now, don't use that as an excuse to be like, oh, I can't do anything. Did you hear the pastor today? I can't do anything. I just need to rest in the Lord. And we do that 6 days out of the week, and we work one, right? Okay? That's not what I'm saying here. The Lord says, you work your 6 days. We're faithful. We do what he's called us to do. But you rest. And as we rest, we'll be able to decipher, I really believe, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do those other six? How do I walk out those other six? We got to remember the Sabbath. Remember to take a day of rest and keep it holy to the Lord. Because again, it's not just, oh, I'm going to go lay on the bed and do absolutely nothing today. As much as that's great for our physical bodies, there's twofold here. It's resting in the Lord. It's resting in our physical body, but also our spiritual, our soul in him. And that's what this commandment is about. He will give us the strength physically to do whatever he's called us to do if we're being faithful to rest in him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, just your word, Lord. Your word is so powerful. And as we've been diving into this Old Testament, there's so many people that feel the Old Testament lacks life. But Lord, it is so full of life. Because you are life, Lord. From day one, you have shown us your life, Lord. How much you care for us. Your desire to be with us, Lord. Your desire for us to grow in you. And Lord, that's what these commands are about. Lord, these commands, when you break them down, are about the two greatest commands that you talk about in the New Testament, loving God. These first four commands are about our relationship with you. And then they're about loving people. And the last six commands are about how we deal with people, Lord. You want us to grow in you, to grow in relationship with you and relationship with others, Lord. And so we just pray you continue to help us do that, Lord. Help us to continue to seek you, to be who you've called us to be, not what the world has called us to be, not what people around us tell us we should be, but that, Lord, we're seeking you. We're seeking your will for our life, Lord. To walk out who you've called us to be, to live the lives that you've called us to live, as we talked about last week, to be that light that shines bright for you, Lord. And Lord, even just in the midst, as I said that, I have the picture of Moses, whose face started off bright and it began to dim. That's what this rest is about, Lord, that we can walk through this world shining bright with no dimness, Lord. That we don't have to dim. We continue to get refreshed and recharged and restored through you, Lord. And that can happen each and every day, Lord. So, Lord, may we be lights that shine bright for you. That we aren't dim because we've allowed the world around us to continue to drain us. But that we're constantly seeking the source, Lord, that recharges us, that strengthens us, that restores our souls, Lord. Thank you. And praise you that you're a God that desires to do this for us, Lord. That you delight in being with us. May we learn to delight in those times with you. May they not be a burden, Lord. You didn't give us this command for it to be a burden, Lord. You gave this command for it to lighten our load, to be a blessing to us, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, may this command be a blessing to us as we learn to walk it and live it out each and every day, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things as we give them to you, Lord. Be with us as we go out of this place today, Lord, being different than as we walked in here, Lord. What are the things you want to speak to us today to challenge us to be different as we walk through our week this week, Lord? Penetrate each of our hearts, Lord. Meet us where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.